Oh, you do not go Christmas caroling and start with Jingle Bells.
No.
Of course you do. No.
Don't start it that way.
Welcome to New Game Plus. This is a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 1 year playing 52 old games, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Nolan.
And this is our 2020 Christmas cast.
Merry Christmas, boys.
We've Merry almost Christmas. Made it.
Happy Hanukkah. Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Feliz Navidad.
Yeah, Feliz Navidades from your daddies. Welcome to those of you that are watching on YouTube. You can see that I'm donning a Santa hat and my little elves are on the screen with me.
But we're Grinches.
It's snowing outside. It's Christmas miracle.
We can make up anything for the people that are just listening. You see that we've actually brought live reindeer today.
Whoa. What's its name?
Christmas time is here, and as always, the best way to
That's a really bad name for a reindeer.
I knew that he was going for that, Nolan. Yeah. And the best way to spread Christmas cheer is to talk about gaming throughout the year. Amen. This is our annual Christmas episode, where instead of talking about a single retro video game, we do a retrospective. We will look at this past year in gaming releases. We will then look at gaming events and or, sorry, the reindeer are getting out of control.
Yeah.
The events and news in gaming in the year. We'll do a brief reflection on the state of NGP, and we will look at next year in the life of NGP.
The state of NGP from the board of directors?
Quarterly update. From us three, if that's what we are, the board of directors.
We are.
We have historically started with a Christmas game that I've won every year. Nolan has lost every year.
You don't
think Nolan has lost every year?
No, I won last year.
Last year it was a competition between me and Nolan, and I think I won. You could roll the tapes. But Kenny has won before then. We're going back to the tried and true, Nolan and Kenny. Simple competition here. I've got 8 questions. All right.
So, and I've got 8 answers.
Well, we'll
I've
go
got
back
99
and forth.
Problems.
And Kenny is one of those.
And 12 days of Christmas. Them.
And 12 days of Christmas is the other 99. So it's as simple as this. We'll go back and forth. If you get it wrong, there is a chance to steal. And if you steal, then you get that point. The first to 5 wins. Simple as that. We're going to start this way to determine who goes first, okay? So okay. the closest answer to the correct answer will go first. This does not count as a point.
Fair. I like it.
And it's not a race, so take your time, but also
Are
we're a
sure?
podcast, so don't just sit here silently.
Okay, am I allowed to cheat?
No. Okay. No. But also I'm not going to go through what you can and cannot do because we're all adults here.
Might want to check again.
We're sitting at computers. I have all the knowledge.
How many feet tall is the 2020 Rockefeller Christmas tree?
2020.
How many feet tall is the 2020 Rockefeller Christmas tree? You want to talk this out just a little bit?
I'm going with... I have my answer, but while Kenny thinks for years, I'll give this little short story.
Okay,
did y'all see what it looked like before they decorated it?
Oh, it was supposed to be so shoddy this year.
Wasn't there a tragedy?
Barren?
Like, did it fall or something?
Well, I don't know what happened, but the picture on Twitter, it looked bad. It looked like it had been burned. Anyways, apparently they always look bad before they decorate it. My official answer is 30 feet.
30 feet. 30
and
feet
closest
tall.
Answer wins?
Yes.
God. 31 feet.
Wait, no, hold on. You know what he's going to do? He's going to give one over or one under just because he plays like that. Go, Kenny.
31
feet. $1? You're going to $1 this?
I'm going to $1 him.
What is your answer? I didn't hear.
Oh, 31 feet.
Okay, so you're going 31 feet.
He won.
I mean, I don't know. It might be shorter than that. Like 30 feet's tall.
30 feet's not that tall for a Rockefeller Christmas tree. 75 feet. So, so close. Next time, Kenny will have to go first because I just
we would have at least been less embarrassingly off. I think I probably would have guessed about 80.
We're now formally starting the game, and you would have guessed about 80, thinking that that's horribly off. That's literally 5 feet away.
No, I'm saying we would have been a lot closer.
Okay, so Kenny, first question: what Christmas decoration was originally made from strands of silver? By the way, while Kenny's thinking, this competition, these questions are all traditional Christmas. That's our theme, traditional Christmas. And so, the first question is, what Christmas decoration was originally made from strands of silver?
Tinsel was originally made from strands of silver.
Is that your final answer?
It is.
Okay. Correct. Correct. Kenny has 1 point. Tinsel, of course. Nolan, coming over to you. What Christmas-themed ballet premiered in St. Petersburg, Russia in 1892?
I feel like I know the answer to this. The Sugar Plum Fairy.
Is that your final answer?
No, but yes.
It's very close because I believe the Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy is a part of this.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, he knows called it. He's adorable.
The Nutcracker.
Kenny, actually. The Nutcracker, okay. Of course. Kenny, you have 2 points. We're coming back to you, Kenny. You need 5 points to win. In the early 1800s, the first gingerbread houses were reportedly inspired by what famous fairy tale?
Hansel and Gretel.
Is that your final answer?
Sure.
Correct. That is 3 points for Kenny.
Oh, God. He's a nerd.
Nolan, he's a Christmas nerd, if it's nothing true. Else. Nolan, we're coming over to you. Time for you to get your first points.
Okay.
What beverage company has been using Santa Claus in its advertising since 1931? And I just pronounced his name funny for no reason. It has no connection here. So let me say it again. What beverage company has been using Santa Claus in its advertising since 1931? I didn't want that to throw things off.
Coca-Cola.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Correct. Nolan has 1 point. Baby. Kenny has 3. Let's see if Kenny can maintain his lead. Kenny, in The Muppet Christmas Carol, who played Scrooge?
Can I phone a friend?
I steal.
Nolan? No, I was asking if Nolan was your friend.
Oh, no, Nolan's not the friend I would phone. I'm going to get in so much trouble if I miss this because this is like my wife's favorite movie ever. But I don't know.
He doesn't know. Muppet, he's a moron.
I know, but I'm thinking it out loud. And Muppet Christmas Carol.
He's got so many more points than you.
Scrooge.
He's not going to be able to like rack his brain for this one. There's no way.
Kenny does weird things.
I am. Mm-hmm. It's a weird act. It's. Okay, so it's not one of the actual puppets.
There needs to be a time limit, correct?
It's a famous actor, and he was quoted as saying he wanted to like act as if it was a real movie and play it like Shakespeare.
Wonderful.
Kenny, you have a few more seconds.
And he's old, and he's wonderful, and I'm bad at actor names, so I'm going to miss it.
Okay.
I got nothing.
I steal?
Yeah.
Coming over to Nolan. Back. Nolan, what's the answer?
Michael Caine.
It is Michael Caine.
Of course.
Keaton.
Not Keaton.
I'm just kidding. Michael Caine. It is Michael Caine, of course. Yes. So that is 2 points, Nolan. 2 points, 3 points, Kenny. So we are very close. Kenny, coming back to you. Nope. Nolan, going to you. What cool. traditional Christmas decoration is actually a parasitic plant?
Mistletoe. Final answer.
Final answer.
Yeah.
Correct. It is yes. mistletoe. We are tied up 3-3, starting to fill it in my jingle jammies. All right.
Can't talk about Kenny. Jingle jammies.
Kenny,
I'm ready.
What well-known Christmas carol became the first song ever broadcast from space in 1965?
Interesting.
Yeah, these questions I did write to start easy and to get a little bit more difficult as we go along.
I don't know, but I'm going to make just a somewhat educated guess and say Silent Night.
Oh, that's
is that your final answer?
Great
that's
guess.
That's my answer. Final shot in the dark answer. Yeah.
In space. Shot in space.
Incorrect. Going over to Nolan. Nolan.
Oh, wow. Would have been a better choice, by the way. They should have picked that one.
I'll ask the question again.
Okay.
What well-known Christmas carol became the first song ever broadcast from space in 1965?
Holy Night. Oh, Holy Night.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
The correct answer is Jingle Bells.
Is it? Dude, that was my first guess, but that's not a carol. That's a carol from
jingle
the slums.
Jingle bell, jingle bell. Yeah, you sing that with other people.
Oh, you do not go Christmas caroling and start with jingle bells.
3 points all the way around. Coming back to start with Nolan. Let's see if he can get his fourth point here. In what modern day country was St. Nicholas born? In what modern day country was St. Nicholas born? Look at Kenny's smug face.
He rocking.
I don't know. No, I don't know.
Either. I don't either. Repeat the question.
A third time. Okay.
Yes.
In what modern day country was St. Nicholas born?
Germany.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Incorrect. Kenny, would you like to give it a try?
I was
in
also
what modern day country was St. Nicholas
born? You were going to say that?
I was going to say the same thing.
Do you want to try it?
Yeah, of course I want to try it.
No, do you want to try the same thing?
No, I want to try a unique answer not his answer. Austria.
Oh, please, that's probably it.
The correct answer is Turkey.
No way, weird.
That's fake news.
These are hard.
Gobble,
They're
gobble.
Hard. The correct answer is North Pole.
Nolan. Yeah. Nope, Kenny, coming to you. It is still... It is still tied up 3-3. We're never going to have a winner.
Nope.
Kenny, this is what we're going... Well, if neither of you get your next one, we'll go for one final question.
All the marbles.
Whoever gets it. Okay?
Okay.
Kenny, how many reindeer are featured in the poem, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas? How many reindeer are featured in the poem... 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. Talk.
I was just trying to figure out if Rudolph was in that. I don't think he is.
People, you can hear it's pondering.
It's a fat dozen. There's 12.
That's me talking.
Is that your final answer?
No, but I'm pretty sure I remember that being the number of reindeer there are, and I'm pretty sure it lists all of them, and I'm not going to think them out loud, even though I could and figure it out. So,
why are you sassy?
I trust myself.
That is incorrect. Nolan, we're coming to you. Same question. How many reindeer are featured in the poem, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas?
4.
All right, Kenny, do you want to suss it out now, out loud?
Because it's not 4.
It's
out
9?
Loud. Kenny had it correct.
You know what? Oh, did I?
He had it correct in the sense that it is all of them except Rudolph, but he just had the number wrong.
Oh,
because he didn't say him out loud.
Is it just 10?
No. There are 9
Dasher
reindeer.
And Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen.
Blitzen. And?
And then 4 others.
Four. No, and 1 other Rudolph. So there are 8. If you would have done that, you would have got it.
Well, I thought it was 12.
Correct, Kenny,
I said a fat
turn.
Dozen, and everyone knows fat means -4.
Fat dozen is really gross, though. Okay. Nolan.
Yes.
Still 3-3. Y'all have hit a roadblock.
We have a podcast to do.
In the song Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer.
I got it. I got this.
What incriminating evidence was found on Grandma's back?
I didn't sing a song to find the answer.
Oh, Tracks, tire tracks, marks, road marks, skid marks.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
All of those?
Yes.
You gave a lot of answers. Okay, well, but
you know what I mean. Tire tracks. That's what we'll say.
Tire tracks? You think he was coming up in a...
Oh, my
gosh. He said tire tracks.
No, that's not what I mean.
He gets it. It is correct. It is claws marks.
Thank you. Yes.
It's the marks, not the tire tracks.
Claws?
No, tracks.
Reindeer don't have claws.
Santa Claus marks. It's the... you have a fourth point, Nolan. So okay. You can bring it home on this next one if Kenny fails to answer this one.
Okay.
Which I don't think he will.
Oh, wow.
I'm Kenny. I can chuck you sometimes.
Miracle... No, this one's easy. Miracle on 34th Street centers on what real-life department store?
Oh.
Macy's. Wow.
Is
that He's just trying
answer?
To make yes. it tied so he can build drama.
No, I'm going through my questions. It is 4-4. But it is coming back to Nolan. Let me...
You gotta whip
here's
it.
Here's the thing. Whip it. Gonna be-
he said tire tracks. He deserves to miss this question.
Nolan.
Yes.
What Bing Crosby song is the best-selling single ever?
And my favorite song around Christmas? It's called The Christmas Song.
Is that your final answer?
Mm-hmm.
Incorrect.
Oh, that's Incorrect. Not King Cole. That's not King Cole.
He came with so much confidence just then, guys.
I gotta go with
Which
confidence.
Means it goes over to Kenny. Is he going to be the reigning champ?
Yes.
Kenny,
White Christmas! More,
yeah. Is that your final answer?
Final answer.
Ding, 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 ding.
I went too quick. I know that's
oh,
not King
no.
Cole.
Kenny just won again.
I've learned always
sing
the reindeer
I think I won last
names.
Year. I think Dustin was saying that he won.
Kenny, congratulations.
Thank
Santa
you. It feels
will be
so good.
Bringing your gifts down your chimney
Ooh.
Very soon. Thank you for those of you that have played with us at home, either on YouTube or wherever you were when you were playing with us. But for now, we're going to put aside a Christmas game. We are putting aside a Christmas game, and we're going to talk about other games, actual games, real, tangible games that we got to play some of this year that were big titles in 2020. The fun thing is, I believe last year, for the most part, the three of us didn't play many new games. Nolan being one of the exceptions with, because that's when your Link, your Zelda game came out that you played a whole heck of a lot. But other than that, Kenny for sure didn't play any 2019 games.
Nah,
I don't think
he did, dude.
Maybe a Civ 6 expansion.
and I didn't really play many either. This year, that changed for me and some for you guys as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Certainly changed for me.
Nolan, you want to start us off?
I will start us off. So the first game that we have to talk about didn't come out in 2020, actually. So I'm breaking the rules a little bit.
But
I got permission. The game's called Among Us. Mm. And it technically came out in what, 2018?
18.
What?
I thought it was even earlier than that. It was a long
was
time ago, regardless.
18.
Okay.
18.
The point being, that's
blew
part
up
of why.
This year.
Yeah, that's why part of why I chose it. So, a game that came out two years ago, very low budget, looking like in everything, clearly low budget marketing if we didn't hear about it until now. Went completely viral on Twitch. If you don't know, Among Us is this like whodunit party game that you play with a total of 10 people. So you need friends to play it. Sorry, guys. But once you find friends, you are playing as spaceship people. And two of those people are not people. They're aliens disguised as the spacemen. And they're killing the crewmates. So you're either an imposter killing people or you're a crewmate trying to figure out who's doing the killing. And it is so much fun. We played it with some people in Discord. if yeah. some of you listening were there playing with us, and it was a blast. I loved it.
With some of our NGP community, it was a lot of fun. And the first half of the game, the hardest part, as Nolan mentioned, but glossed over just a little bit, is you've got to find friends. And so the whole, you know, whole first half of your life, you're looking for friends. And then once you find them, you start the second phase of this game.
Yes.
In which you kill each other. So it's inspired by the live action Mafia game, which many people have played, yep. or there's other variations of the game, but where there is a bad guy mixed with good guys. You don't know who the bad guy is or bad girl. Sorry, we're all inclusive here. Mm-hmm. And it is a lot of fun, but I do think it falls in that spectrum of these party games that are a blast to... Ow, this ball keeps hitting me in the eye. And for those listening on podcast, yeah. the Santa Claus hat ball at the end of my hat.
It's the reindeer.
I blame it on the reindeer. The 13th reindeer, apparently, yeah. or the 12th reindeer. I think it's one of those games that is a lot of fun to begin with, but the fun and the novelty of it wears off fairly quickly.
I don't yes. know. People are still playing it.
That doesn't they mean are. Anything.
You're right, Dustin, and you're right, Kenny. People are streaming it longer than I thought they would. Top streamers. Okay. So really big streamers like XQC on Twitch. He's like one of the biggest streamers. He has a huge audience. Played this game and like... He, along with other people that have a lot of viewership, play together, and it's so funny because they just trash each other and they call each other liars, and it's very entertaining to watch. So even if you don't have friends, you're in luck, it's fun to watch too, and I recommend checking it out. It's so simple too. I love that a game like this can just get mainstream, and even though it may not deserve it, it gets to that status and it becomes pop culture, and
it's,
I love
it's
it.
Fully mainstream. This is the game that you see pictures of teachers memeing in their classroom, that I find my own nieces and nephews talking about and playing in front of me like over the holidays.
Yeah, it's on mobile. AOC. And
AOC.
Right, AOC? And that members of Congress literally use it right. to like build literally. Their platform. It's everywhere.
It's awesome.
This game got weird big.
Some weird might big. Say it's pervasive.
I wouldn't Some say might.
That'd
that.
Be sus, though.
That would be sus. It's even created a whole nother language that yeah. people use to talk about how people are suspect. Or
so
you know,
good, man.
It is a lot of fun. And you mentioned Twitch, which is good, Nolan, because that's what really revived it. That's what brought yeah. it back. It only had something like 30 to 50 concurrent users
Golly.
For the longest time. In fact, they were getting ready to kind of put it to death and move on. Yeah. They had plans to let's make an Among Us 2 and try it again because this first one didn't reach the success we wanted it to. And then someone streamed it on Twitch. And game over. No more plans for Among Us 2. Let's support Among Us 1. In fact, just recently at the Game Awards, they announced yeah. a new map entirely with some Hype. new mini games to play in there and functions on the map, verticality added to some of the stages and different things like that. Ooh. So it's crazy. As we're recording this, you may have not even seen it yet. It's now out on the Switch.
Yes. I did see that on the Wikipedia page, and I had to do a double take. I was like, huh? But I guess it happened today? Is that what you're saying?
I think today or yesterday.
Yeah. That is good news. We could play over the holidays, boys. All of us.
I mean, Switch.
We also have phones.
sure.
Okay, Diablo Immortals.
Was stopping us from
I'm done. All right. Kenny?
So while Among Us got super big, it wasn't the first game this year that went weird viral. Probably before that, the other game that got weird hype, and I think much more popular than I ever would have expected it to, is a little life sim called Animal Crossing New Horizons. Now, this is a game that... I don't know. A lot of people, I think, at a glance would even almost call it a children's game because it's a very simple, accessible premise.
Hey, watch your mouth.
I wouldn't say that.
That's true.
It's not a kid's game.
No, I don't think so either. But it is accessible to a wide audience, yeah, including is. Children.
It's cute.
Where you're given an island and then sort of set loose to do whatever you want with it. There's a whole series of item collecting. There's a series of things you can do, building structures and building relationships with NPCs, making things that you craft, finding objects that are rare, farming, growing things, catching things, fishing for things, all sorts of those sort of interactive elements. And you get to do it, and you get to do it not just alone, hopefully, but you get to do it with your friends as well. And this one I thought was going to be the biggest game of the year until weird things like, you know, Among Us and Fall Guys and other stuff like got super so big and crazy out of nowhere.
Well, so this is going to be our first time bringing it up on this episode. But for those of you listening many years in the future, just know 2020 has been unique. Mm-hmm. And Animal Crossing New Horizons came at just the opportune time for that company and for us as gamers.
Everybody was just being told, go home and entertain yourselves right as this hyped game came out.
Which is a great command, and I wish that directive was given to us again, because go home and entertain yourself is the name of my novel. I don't know. But is what I'm saying is the game is good, and I think would have had a lot of hype around it, just a new Animal Crossing game in and of itself, but it was propelled to new heights when it came out on March 20th because of the quarantine, of the stay at home, because of COVID-19, which propelled this game to being the, by far, best-selling game in the Animal Crossing series, the best-selling Nintendo Switch exclusive, and the second best-selling game on the Nintendo Switch ever, only after Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, and it just came out a mere month ago.
Yeah. Crazy impressive numbers. And I can speak to that from like a personal perspective. My wife lost her job because of COVID. We were stuck inside.
Animal Crossing New
Horizons. Yeah, we were stuck inside. The game comes out. We were previously fans when we were dating. We played, we had our DSs and we each had a town and would like trade items and stuff. So I bought my wife a Switch. I bought her the game and then I was like, okay, I'll buy it. So I bought the game for myself. And it literally helped us get through those months because we were scared. Everyone was scared.
Yeah.
People still are scared. People have lost loved ones. And it really was a de-stressing thing in our lives. And like the perfect timing. God sent that game to the earth. It was so good. Like it's so cute and calming, lighthearted, and you can just get lost.
Chill. Yeah, yeah, and uplifting, and like you're creating and exploring, and it's an outlet. It's so good. It really was the perfect COVID game.
Thank you, God, for sending Animal Crossing New Horizons to us.
Thank you.
It's such a difficult time. And then a game was released on April 10th. Console exclusive, but who cares? I tried over and over again and to not get hype. And I consistently, for years, did not get my hopes up. And then my hopes went up. They skyrocketed through the ceiling when I saw it back in the news and the first kind of trailer release of Final Fantasy VII Remake. They've been talking about it for a decade.
Yeah.
Or
a long time. It's been a long time coming.
And I've always wanted that. Of course. Final Fantasy VII, you should know by now. If not, go home and entertain yourself. But Final Fantasy VII is my favorite RPG of all time, my favorite game of all time. It has has made such an impact on my life as a gamer and as an individual and human being. Final Fantasy VII Remake, I wanted that to happen, but I know that that Square that they work slowly. I know that Square Enix. I know that there's other things that were taking priority, and I know that trying to do a Final Fantasy VII remake is touchy because it's not just an HD remaster.
It was a rework. It was a remake.
Ground up. But when I saw it and saw how faithful they were going, they seemed to be, while giving us a new game entirely, I was ecstatic. And my hopes only continued to climb as I began to play the game, just entirely in disbelief. Am I really seeing these places again, but this time in a brand new fidelity that I can look around and explore to my heart's content? It was a dream come true.
I know I got to see you play some of this game, but I haven't and would like to at some point, but it's not like super high priority to me. However, I'm curious. How faithful is faithful? Are you even doing things like summoning the same materia? And if so, what I really want to know is how long is the Knights of the Round animation?
Quickly,
were you saying that you played a little bit but haven't played enough, or you watched some of me playing it?
Yeah, I watched you play. I've seen some gameplay, but I haven't seen like the summons happen.
So you know so little about Final Fantasy VII Remake.
So little.
None.
Which is very sad for a few reasons. One, your closest friend has played through the entire game, made an entire Let's Play series, 82, I think.
A lot of episodes.
Episodes of individual releases.
Us too busy played Animal Crossing New Horizons.
That's fine. But they're all up on our YouTube channel. You can click the link in the annotations, or you can just.
And can I see
YouTube.
You summon Knights of the Round or not?
No,
you gotta answer my question.
He doesn't even know that it's
because
beginning
no, he
of
does because we've talked about it before. So this is literally 1/4, if that, of the original game.
Oh yeah, it's just a partial story. I do
there
know
we
that
go.
Fact.
It is episodic. They haven't talked extensively about that, but you are only experiencing a very fleshed out Midgar in this game.
Long enough to still justify that fact? Or do you feel like breaking it up into four games is just money grab? Because you know part of it's money grab.
I don't think it's just that.
I'm not saying just.
Watching Dustin play through it, it's like there's so much in there. There's no
it's
way
dense
they could
and
fit
it's good.
That.
Regardless, this isn't a Hobbit situation.
It is not even close to a money grab.
Okay.
They did it poorly because, in fact, they did it so much the other side that there's going to be people that don't care to continue playing it because of how different it is than the original game. It is
honestly brilliant of them.
Re-envisioned. It is. I think they hit the perfect mark of being faithful to the original while exploring new things.
Good. And that's hard.
Of course, with a game like this, they're able to give us more characterizations and more depth to some of these characters and stories that we didn't originally get. But you're doing so much. And, Kenny, they're even taking the story, it seems, a different direction. And I don't know what that means.
There's
a lot of fan theories out there as if some thinking that this is like a parallel universe to the original, some thinking that this is like a time travel back before the events happened in the original, but some of our characters realize it. I don't buy into all of that. I still think it's going to be somewhat close to the original game while deviating some and in some major ways. I do think that there was a little bit of fluff in here with side content that you didn't have to do, but near the end of the game. But with these RPGs, you're going to get some of that. And Final Fantasy has always had that. I think they did exceptional with this game.
And that's so hard because a game that's this loved,
that's scary.
Just taking a big risk. Like, you're going to make some money no matter what when you've got a loved franchise. Like, people are just going to go out and buy it. But if you don't do a good job, like, you're going to be reviled for it because it's something almost like sacred that you're messing up. Yeah. So it's really risky to do that. And I'm glad to hear that that A, they didn't just stick to not doing anything different, but that B, it still has the like heart that you were looking for. That's great.
Yeah. It was nominated for 6 awards at the Game Awards, including Game of the Year. It won 2 categories, Best RPG and Best Score/Music, which you could probably imagine Best Score Music. It's some of that music in Final Fantasy is some of the best video gaming music, and yeah, they took it to a whole nother level here. It also won IGN Japan's Game of the Year for 2020. So it definitely hit the mark for a lot of people, including me.
I'm going to give you a figure for this next game.
Okay.
$314 million.
I thought you were going to say days before we got to play it.
It's the amount of in-game game currency I've spent on armor repair. Diablo 4. 3.
2.
1. It's actually Cyberpunk's estimated budget for creating the game.
I thought you were going to say that's how much money they've made. That's a huge budget.
Cyberpunk 2077 is finally here. Dustin made a reference to the meme that is currently and was happening for a long time in that it's never going to come out. CD Projekt Red, the creators of Witcher 3 and other games that I don't know, announced this game a long time ago. And of course, with a game as successful as Witcher 3 and a company that people trust now after that amazing game won so many awards, then yeah, we want to play a futuristic game from you. Well, they pushed it back and they pushed it back and they pushed it back, and I respect them so much for that, because
like
they
so many times it was supposed to come out in like January or something.
Push it back again. Make a game
I see your angle
that you are proud of, that people aren't going to be upset of. Of course, people are upset. There are glitches with the game. Yes. That's the case with any new game. I'm sorry, we live in 2020, and that's how the industry works. Now, half of that figure I told you, and this is an estimation. I don't know if they have real numbers out there. I've looked. I can't find exact. About half of that went to marketing the game.
I mean,
smart. And that's what I want to talk about. Yes, it's smart. They have, okay, it's the most hyped game ever that I know of, and I feel comfortable saying that. It's so maybe Half-Life 3, but
that's
come
not
on, like it's different. Like it's a AAA title that they've spent so much money on that people want so bad. Keanu Reeves is the spokesperson and he's in it. Smartest marketing move they could have ever done. Everyone loves Keanu Reeves. Like if you were going to get a celebrity,
well, that's their whole budget. I feel like,
dude, that's worth, because he is a, he has been portrayed as a like kind person. He values art and he cares about this game. He wants it to be made like that. And it's the biggest game. It's the biggest game. And that's why I wanted to talk about it. I haven't played it personally. I want to, and I will, but I am just blown away how they were able to pull this off with so much backlash and yet still make a quality game. I it's amazing.
Well, I don't think any of us have played it yet. It did literally come out 6 days ago.
Days ago, yeah.
As of this recording. Yeah. So none of us have gotten it. It did come out multiple systems, including the new consoles,
yep,
right? So like
yep,
it's all over the place. And there are also memes about how it looks on old hardware compared to new hardware and PC being worlds apart.
Like with anything popular, like we talked about with the possibility of Final Fantasy VII, when there's high expectations, it's really easy to fall short of those and get yourself in a little bit of trouble.
Yes.
And they're definitely in a little bit of hot water right now because of backlash on bugginess and of look on last-gen consoles and a number of other things. But just watching, I'm with you, Nolan, watching the journey of like this long build and something that people cared about and hyping it up, was just fun. It was even as an outsider, I also like haven't jumped in.
They had 8 million pre-orders. Dude,
that's insane.
Like make your money back overnight. It's just crazy. 74% of those pre-orders were digital. That's also an interesting thing. Physical's gone, guys. Like who does physical? I want to, and I tried with Switch. I can't.
It just doesn't make sense.
I have an
anymore.
SD card. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. You can play it day one, the minute it comes out on digital.
Yeah.
Hype works.
It received a whole lot of hype, and I know that Witcher 3 was an excellent game. I played it. One of the things that I got excited about with Cyberpunk that I just heard about just recently is that they intentionally made the game shorter, because while Witcher 3 was considered great by many people, it was only beaten by few. Like, it's a long game, Witcher 3. I've never beaten it, and I played 50, 60 hours in it.
Yeah.
I didn't play nearly that much, but I started it and never finished.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's so long and I'm still like, oh, it's a great game. I had fun, but like I wasn't motivated to get all the way to the end. So they made Cyberpunk intentionally shorter, which is good. I'm a story. I'm a character guy. I haven't heard too much about the story here. Is it supposed to be a good one? I know it gets praised for it.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a good one. So I didn't know this. I should have. Witcher was a book series.
Yeah.
No one knew about it until they made a game.
Not many.
Cyberpunk is a thing. It's a series. I don't know if it's a book series. I think it's games.
Is it really?
Board games? The creator is Mike Pondsmith. I'll have to do more research on what the original Cyberpunk was. It's a genre.
It's a role-playing game franchise.
Yeah.
It's a dystopian tabletop role-playing game.
Tabletop. Okay, cool. Yeah. And so CD Projekt Red's just like, guys, we need to just revive this really sick stuff. So it's a thing. And he was a consultant for them for years while they were developing the game.
That's cool.
Yeah.
How fun would it be to have made a thing and then have someone come along and be like, we're going to take your thing and we're going to make it even better.
We're going to make it a thing.
And we're going to share it with everybody. And the world's going to get hyped over it.
And here's some money.
You're right. And here's some money as well.
This is one that I'll eventually play, but I won't be one of the ones that play it up front. It will be one that I play maybe a year or so from now with a big sell and on PC. When or if will y'all play it?
I'd play it tomorrow.
But you want a new console, right?
Is it not on PC?
It is, yeah.
No, it's on PC. Yeah, no, you'd want to play it on PC.
I would play it on PC. I would buy it maybe tomorrow. Like I want to play it. Like FOMO is unfortunately part of this, and that's my whole argument, and I'm falling short.
Kenny.
I would play it. The hype is fun, and it's fun to be part of the, you know, conversation that's going on. But I've been too busy because I found a new game that I absolutely love that is defining my time.
Oh, yeah?
Okay,
this game won Indie Game of the Year, won Best Action Game of the Year, and has absolutely enthralled me and enraptured my heart. And I got no time for Cyberpunk 2077 because I've been playing Hades.
2077.
Go to hell. Again and again and again and again and again.
Over and over and over. Yeah.
That's all the ads.
Exactly. Their ad budget was almost as much as Cyberpunk's being a tiny little indie studio.
They got Metallica.
So Hades is an action roguelike where you're sort of dungeon crawling through these series of levels in the underworld, all set in the old... I'm going to get my Greek, right? I get
Greek mythology.
Yeah, Greek mythology. My mythologies mixed up. I don't know about all that.
Don't
we? We do. Everybody does.
Every day.
Through a story that's based on these classic, well-known characters from Greek mythology. And it is such an amazingly well-done game on every front that I don't even know which one to pick. Super good storytelling. Tons of replayability, even for a game where you're doing a similar kind of strategic action thing just over and over again. Amazing music, and I'm nowhere close to having gotten through the actual story, and I've already put in tons and tons of hours. It's absolutely my sweetheart game, and I'm so glad that 2020 brought it to us.
Developers...
A fun game to watch. Developers are Supergiant Games, that small
Bastion.
Indie game Bastion, Transistor, Pyre, and now Hades. They haven't done many, but everyone they've done has been with an incredible amount of love, an incredible amount of uniqueness to it. like they're borrowing from, but not copying anyone. Nope. They've got their own flair. If you see one of their games, you could be like, that's a Supergiant game.
Yeah. And robust, polished, just really loved, well-made, thoroughly crafted games.
Snubbed at the Game Awards?
No.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, yes. I would have liked them to do better, but there was some serious competition. There really was.
Sure. And
so,
but good on them for even getting nominated.
Well, they got nominated. They got nominated up there with the big dogs for Game of the Year.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they were in the conversation.
But they did win best. They did win best indie and best action.
And best action.
So that's huge. Yeah.
That's dope.
And I don't know what else they should have won over the ones that they were against, because there were some big players this year.
Yeah, and the types of games they were up against, just these big immersive AAA titles
already that had fan bases.
Yeah, a completely different look and across, you know, all the different systems. Like, you just, it's hard to have the gravitas as a little indie guy, even when you're like perfect and make an amazing game, to come against that sort of stuff.
It's the first roguelike that I could comfortably recommend to someone who doesn't know what that is, or who usually wouldn't like that style of game. Because when I think about other roguelikes in the past, too hardcore. Like, that genre is just kind of polarizing, I feel.
This one's more accessible?
Yeah, absolutely. You don't even know you're playing one. It's just so polished, dude.
Can you tell me about the dialogue real quick? Because that's one of the cool factors.
So good. So they're unlocking this sort of bigger story as you're going through this, you know, repeated mechanic of like running through this dungeon. But they're doing it in a way where which characters you interact with are each unique and different. And the dialogue you get is based on other things that you've done. So like, which items you've picked up is going to change the dialogue that's happening. And yet that same dialogue is going to end up sort of weaving its way back into the story. And it's all just like, this isn't, I don't know. It's just super well thought out. The voice acting is incredible. Everything about it, I can't
he
even
loves
complain.
It,
it's a 11-10 for me.
He like, loves it game. So much.
I haven't played it, but I've watched Kenny play it. I even watched Nolan play it a little bit. It's a beautiful game.
Oh,
it looks so cool. Sounds so cool. Moving on to my last game, and our last game is of what we're talking about here, and it is The Last of Us Part 2. Came out June 19th. Again, a console exclusive, which is weird for me. Both of the ones that I talked about were PlayStation 4 exclusives, at least at the time. And I didn't ever have a PlayStation 4, and my friend never was able to send me
his. Who's that?
No matter how many times I begged and pleaded, and no matter how long it's been since he played his PlayStation
4. Would you send a console in the mail?
Finally, I was able to obtain a PlayStation 4. I had to perform someone's wedding and then got a gift as a PlayStation 4 as the payment. And so I played all the games that I had been missing. The Last of Us was one that I always had on my list and always wanted to play because of its story. The Last of Us 2 just came out when I got this PlayStation 4. So me and my wife sat down and played back-to-back The Last of Us The Last of Us Remastered, straight into The Last of Us 2, and had one of the best gaming experiences and storytelling experiences of our lives. The game is so good that I'll never play it again.
Dang, such a good statement.
It's not a happy thing. You don't finish playing and is like, yeah, let's do that again. You know, it's a book or a movie that you watch and are ripped to shreds, knowing that what you just experienced was absolutely amazing, one of a kind, but that it's not something that you just want to do over and over again.
I've only felt that one time about a game. BioShock.
Ooh. Infinite? Or the first one?
Just the whole series.
Just the series? Yeah, I was just like, you completely.
I wanted to give him a round of applause. It was just,
Right.
I haven't even played the first one. I have it downstairs. I'm borrowing it from a friend.
Oh.
How badly do I need to play both of them?
You and your wife need to sit down before me and my wife get to your house in 13 days or whatever it is.
Or
and
we play all the watch game. Me play
Y'all will absolutely love it. It's spectacular.
Takes place in Austin?
It starts in Austin, at least. Okay. The first one, Last of Us Part Two, what we're talking about, we played it back to back. So for us, it was kind of one and the same.
Got it.
But I again, I've never experienced storytelling in a video game to this degree. The gameplay is good, but you're playing a story. Like it's a narrative based, character driven story. And so while you're taking out zombies and while you're taking out other humans, a lot of humans in part two, it's the story that is compelling you to continue to play. And because it's so story centric and character centric, it isolated the fans over decisions that were made, especially in this game.
Oh.
There were a lot of people that didn't like directions that were taken all throughout the game, not just with the game's ending, especially with the game's ending, but also decisions that were made earlier on. And while I see some of the complaints, it wasn't my story to tell. And sure. I think the story that they did tell was riveting. And I respect them for telling their story that they wanted to tell in the way that they told it. I think they were heavy-handed on trying to be all-inclusive. Dude, they hit every mark. If you had a list of like inclusivity, like things that we've got to touch to make sure that we hit every category, they hit all of those. But again, I think the story and the characters are absolutely astonishing.
Yeah, when I said Hades didn't have a chance of winning
it was up
more awards,
yeah.
It's because The Last of Us 2 existed.
Yeah.
This game swept house. It just won everything and a few things it didn't even
get
think it was going to win.
There's at least one category at the Game Awards where it was nominated twice.
Really?
Like, yes. Best performance, vocal performance, because the two leads were our two critical role girls, Laura Bailey and Ashley Johnson.
Both of them.
One of them is Ellie, our main girl from the first game, and one is a new character. And so,
where's the guy?
He wasn't nominated this year.
Oh, was he not in the game?
He was in the game.
Oh, okay.
But at the Game Awards, it was nominated for many things in many different Game Awards and won most of them. At the Game Awards, it was nominated for Player's Voice, Best Score in Music, Best Art Direction, Best Performance, Best Performance, Best Action Adventure Game, Innovation and Accessibility, Best Audio Design, Best Narrative, Best Game Direction, and Game of the Year.
Wow.
And it won like 90% of those.
And it won every one of those except the second best performance, because the first best performance won. It didn't win best art direction, and it didn't win best score in music, but almost every single other one of those it did.
I'm impressed.
It's incredible. You should play the first one and play the second one. I don't know which one's better, but definitely for 2020 games, The Last of Us 2. There are many other games that came out this year. We probably missed some of the ones that you wanted us to talk about. We've already taken too long talking about these six, but I did want to just throw out a few notable mentions. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 plus 2, 1 and 2 came out, kind of the remastered thing of that, which is hype because retro gaming. Fall Guys, which is an incredible game that Nolan never raged at.
Nolan doesn't ever get angry when he plays game.
That was another hype game of 2020.
But it was another hype party game. Assassin's Creed Valhalla came out just recently. Haven't played it yet. We'll play it soon. And then Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales is getting a lot of hype. It just recently came out as well. It's really an extension of Marvel's Spider-Man that came out a few years back. But those are few. There are still others, but let's quickly move on into big gaming news or events in 2020. I believe there were a lot more in 2019 because 2020, again, a unique year altogether. But Nolan, do you want to start us with yours? And I think it's unique that you are bringing this one up, and I'll tell you why momentarily.
Okay. So one big thing that actually happened last year that I believe we talked about on our summary.
That's what I was going to bring up.
Okay. We did.
That was your gaming event for last year.
Yeah, it's poetic. So last year we talked about Mixer, which was Microsoft's streaming platform, and how they bought Ninja and Shroud, two popular streamers, for like $30 million and $10 million. biggest like gaming deals.
They announced the numbers? I didn't know they announced them.
Oh, yeah, they did. 20 to 30 for Ninja. I believe 10 was Shrouds, which is crazy. That's a crazy amount of money to give a streamer.
Crazy amount of money.
And it didn't matter how many viewers they had or anything like that.
They literally handed them the money and said, right. You have to stream exclusively on Mixer. And they said, okay. And
best decision of their lives.
Best decision of
their lives. Especially in retrospect.
Oh, because
absolutely.
On July 22nd of 2020, Mixer got taken out back. They said turn around. And Microsoft pulled the trigger. Mixer's dead. Now, why? Well, apparently, Microsoft was not seeing the return, the ROI on that platform. They needed the numbers. They were trying to compete. Consider this. They're trying to compete with Twitch and freaking YouTube. YouTube's right. Bigger than Twitch. I have to remind people that. Google owns YouTube. And Facebook Gaming, which is not doing terribly. Facebook Gaming is actually doing quite well. So they're trying to enter this space. They couldn't get the numbers. Despite buying those two popular, excellent broadcasters and entertainers, they just didn't bring the numbers with them. People like the platforms they currently live on, their streamers stream on it. So they got rid of it. What this means for Ninja and Shroud, do they have to give any money back? No. Like I said, they got paid.
They now, didn't break the contract.
No, they're just done. Now they're $30 million richer and they get to go back to Twitch with which both of them did. So now they're back on their home platform with their audience.
And Mixer goes to just that company just goes to putting all of their efforts then into Facebook Gaming.
Facebook Gaming.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's like that's gonna work.
Just like choose one of their competitors, and they're like, you can have the rest of our people.
They should also continue to help Justin Timberlake bring back MySpace because that's going to happen too.
I forgot he tried to do that.
What some bad ideas.
They tried to make it into a bad music ideas. Thing. Oh, no.
I'm so tempted to like judge Microsoft for this because it seems like a ridiculous thing. But when you look at the pull that popular streamers do have. When you look at Among Us blowing up just because it got a little bit of popularity on stream, when you look at the influence that space is having on our culture, I can't blame them in the least. I know it backfired. I know there's probably other reasons that Mixer, the platform itself, like didn't take off like others did, but I don't think it's a terrible idea to try and throw money and swing people if you're wanting to do it.
It was smart. So. I think I remember giving them credit for that. I'll have to listen to the tapes, but I agree. Like, yeah, if you're going to start from scratch, get the biggest person on your competitor's platform and say, come over here. Yeah, of course. Now streamers everywhere are dealing with this DMCA thing. And like, I'm so confused by all of that. It's like streamers drive numbers to game sales. Like absolutely they do. It's a direct correlation. So why do y'all put them in jail all the time for dumb stuff?
You know what? And this is a tangent. We didn't bring it up to talk about. Maybe we should have. But Nintendo is the worst.
Oh my gosh.
They make me mad and they haven't even necessarily done anything to me personally outside of take away any monetization that we can make off of my Ocarina of Time Let's Play series.
That has 10 views. Yeah, thanks, guys. Like, they're so greedy, and it's like
the worst.
They sent, for those of you that don't know, they sent a cease and desist to
Smash.
One of the other really big Smash tournaments that happens all the time. It's a Melee tournament. And I guarantee you, they were like, wait, why do people have Melee tournaments, Ultimates out? The game's like 4 games old now. You can't do that anymore. And it's so infuriating that you would do that to your audience. They love you. I love Nintendo, but they're jerks, dude. Anyways,
it was
their legal department.
The Big House
has always just been way heavy-handed, and it's put the community off. And you'd think they'd learn, but I guess they haven't.
Due to the unique year that 2020 has been, almost every single conference, video game conference, went 100% virtually or was just canceled entirely. At the start of the year, a few conferences got to occur before the spread went viral. PAX South and East actually happened in person in January and February, respectively, but soon after, conferences began to move virtual. So the Game Developers Conference, GamesCon, additional PAX stuff, BlizzCon, E3 was canceled altogether. They said they're not going to even do an online version.
Yeah, we called off NGPCon.
We called off, and that was a hard decision.
Tough decision, being that
we hadn't
so many people
planned anything for it ever. The Vancouver Retro Gaming Expo, that's just to name a few, but all of these annual conferences all either didn't happen or went exclusively online, which for a lot of people that attended these conferences had to be a bummer. But for those of us that don't typically attend and just either watch live streams or read the news after the fact, for me, it was the best year of gaming conventions ever.
Yeah, I mean, they stream a lot of them for free, usually. Like, if you can't attend, they'll stream, like, the talks and the announcements, but they were even streaming like some of the other in-person exclusive stuff, like cosplay award, like cosplay competitions or awards or whatever. You know what I mean?
That's what you watch mainly. Yeah.
You what?
No, that's what you watch mainly.
No, you watched that.
No.
But like, yeah, I agree. Like, I've never gone to a convention in my life, and I don't plan on ever going to a convention. So yeah, I mean, you know, quarantine's not all bad. I got to watch some of that stuff. And BlizzCon Line is in February is going to be online too.
You do plan to go to a conference, because we're going to go to some conferences as New Game Plus.
Y'all can.
You are going to have to go and cosplay, actually.
I will stream.
Nolan is afraid of the public.
Yes. I would say Kenny more so, but
he's afraid of me.
I thought these online conferences were just done so much better. For whatever reason, it helps to cut out a lot of the technical difficulties of a live event, a lot of the fluff and filler, and some of the awkwardness that you always get.
The awkward announcers that have terrible scripts.
They're kind of just getting straight to it and showing the stuff we want to see, which
the
makes
PlayStation
for a
one?
Yeah.
So epic. Good.
Back to back, so clean, so crisp. It's kind of so like sick. A lot of people, I don't want to talk about them again, but are learning from Nintendo, because they've been doing those directs, right? And it's always been fluid, clean, always
rehearsed.
Perfect.
Yep.
And it worked this year. Summer Games Done Quick. It's not really a conference, but it's another thing that raises a lot of money. And there's a lot of those money raising events for, you know, other for cancer research and for different things like that, that went entirely virtual this time.
They crushed
and
it.
I think that even worked, you know, they still made a lot of money. There were technical difficulties, because they're having to stream a game and a camera and a mic from people's house all
from
around
unreliable
the world.
People. Yes. They have no control over it, and their internet
I
connection.
I can't even imagine the headache.
Considering that all of that, they crushed it.
Considering all of that, they crushed it. And throughout the pandemic, the sale of video games has increased. A lot of that is because people are staying at home and they need something to bring them joy. And so they're coming back to the true tried method of gaming. If only they could also find New Game Plus. Video sales have gone up in North America, 34% at least. That was back in March. And hardware up 63% from the previous year. And again, I think those numbers are only climbing.
Ooh, the hardware one may be skewed by the new console releases, no?
Yeah.
Heavily, yeah.
It may. And I think we should take some time to talk about that, because it's not every year that we have a console release year. You know, we've got this nice little cycle of drop a generation,
let it
kind of develop, games come out, things, you know, kind of slack. Nintendo does whatever they want, and they're like, we'll just release consoles whenever we want, and we kind of do our own thing.
Here's a cardboard box.
Oh, right, yeah, and then we're going to wire up a cardboard box and it actually be cool, and no one knows. Like, they're the best and the worst, but
they are.
The two big, I can't even say primary, because, like, Switch is huge, but the two other big consoles both had their next-gen release just recently, this year. You got the Xbox Series. I'm going to say it wrong. The Xbox Series X, mm-hmm. as well terrible as name. Oh, it's absolutely terrible name and so confusing. Like yeah. with all of that already,
you know
there.
What's not confusing
and is the PlayStation 5.
That's not. I love them for that. 1, 2, 3, just 4, 5, baby.
The PlayStation 4.
Yep. It'll be interesting to see how long that goes before they start doing weird cell phone things and like jumping tins or
PS6.
I don't know. We'll see. It makes it easy on their like marketing department and yeah. everybody else. Like you just know, just count them up. But these have been huge. Next gen graphics. You're starting to get capabilities to do things like ray tracing. You're getting solid state hard drives. You're getting all kinds of the newest bells and whistles.
8K. I think that's made
8K.
Up.
8K. Yeah, you're getting getting PC? New, really well thought out controllers that include some like button individual haptic feedback.
That's cool.
All kinds of cooler quality of life stuff that have been included in this next gen of consoles. And so that's been fun. Unsurprisingly, though, those have been super, super popular. And so I think the story, even more than 2020 happened and they still were willing to drop these new releases because they were in the works and somehow still pulled it off. I mean, mostly knowing people were stuck at home and going to buy them for sure. But is just how difficult these things have been to buy because they came out. Everybody bought them. More people wanted them than bought them. And you had a weird, huge problem with scalping, with reselling, with, eBay shops that are tripling the price, and with people really going crazy. YouTubers buying them as marketing stunts and then destroying them and getting a ton of flack from the community for being wasteful. And it's just been a kind of weird sense of drama in the gaming community, both because it's hype and new things are coming out and just because it's been like so much and so hard to get on that train.
It's dumb. Will you get a PlayStation 5, Kenny? I know Dustin won't, so I'm not going to ask him.
Probably not. I actually have been more of an Xbox person historically. Yeah, I know that's probably the wrong choice, but yeah,
it is.
Go to Mixer. Facebook.
So Xbox two gens ago
360?
Was a purchase. Yeah, this was 360. Was a purchase during college specifically to play Halo. So PlayStation wasn't an option. And then Xbox One, my wife and I were gifted. And so, it's not a choice I've ever had to make, but have just lived in the Xbox yep. ecosystem more.
Yep.
Nolan, will you?
I mean, yes, I will. Probably next year sometime. I want to play Demon's Souls really, really bad. I think PlayStation has better exclusives. I will never buy an Xbox ever.
If the conversation is about new fancy technology that people have had a hard time getting a hold of and it's been scalped like crazy, I won't be buying a PlayStation. I'll be buying a new graphics card and upgrading my PC.
Hey, now that's the right choice.
I will eventually get a PlayStation 5, hopefully from you, Nolan, if you let me borrow it. When?
Okay, you want me to buy a PlayStation 5 and mail it to you so you can play your Final Fantasy game?
When the next episode of Final Fantasy 7 releases. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's just go ahead and make that plan.
I already have a router.
I'll pay for shipping, and I don't think the PlayStation 5 looks as silly or bad as y'all think
it's
it
kind
does.
Of ugly, but it's the better choice.
It's super ugly.
We're moving into 2021. Act like y'all are individuals that want to go to space someday. Come on.
That don't
the
look like
the
space.
Xbox looks a million times better.
Y'all just want that bookshelf speaker?
Yep.
That's what Xbox X Series X
is. I want a little mini fridge.
I want the PS5 to look like the PS2. Exactly like it. The original box.
Before we move off of this, are there any key games that you're... Nolan, you just said the Demon's Souls remaster? No.
Remake.
Are there any other key games from either of these consoles that you guys are looking forward to? Kenny, obviously with Xbox Series X, you're looking forward to Call of Duty, but anything besides that?
Gears of War, dude.
Yeah, Gears of War.
Yeah, no,
just
I don't,
Dance.
I don't actually play consoles. I don't believe in them.
Yeah, Switch?
I do have a Switch. Yeah. The only next gen game I'm looking forward to is Breath of the Wild 2, and that's not going to be console dependent.
Or next year.
Probably. And Nolan, are there any other titles for you?
I don't think so. So there's that. There's the Spider-Man game I care zero about. So it's just Demon's Souls for me, yeah.
Bugsnax?
Bugsnax honestly looks lit. I'm not going
to... No, dude, it looks so dumb.
I've heard it's so good. Like, unironically, it's people think it's so good.
That is our discussion on the 2020 games and 2020 gaming news. Now let's talk just a little bit about New Game Plus. That is our podcast. That is what you're listening to.
Oh, yeah.
This last year, we hit our fifth year, which is a big milestone in the life of anything, a business, a marriage, a podcast. The majority of podcasts don't make it a year, much less five. We have been doing this every week without fail for 5 years. And I think we can brag on that just a little bit and pat ourselves on the back because that's really cool. But none of that would we have, that's not true. I was about to say none of that we would have continued to do without a community surrounding us. And maybe that's true, but I know that Kenny specifically has caught me before saying that and been like, nope, I would have done it just to hang out with you guys. And it makes me feel all warm and tingly inside.
My goal is to just make you feel warm and tingly.
Go home and entertain yourself. 2020 in review for New Game Plus. What's something that stood out to you as something that we were able to accomplish or do this year?
Well, for one, and this is mostly like because it was somewhat of a pet project for me, I really believed in YouTube as a platform in mm-hmm. terms of growing our podcast. Beefing up our YouTube presence and actually doing video podcasts. So again, we've mentioned it already, but if you're listening to this, we're also filming this on YouTube. You can go to our channel and actually it's youtube.com/newgameplus podcast.
Yes.
And you can watch us instead of only listening to us. So like, that's been cool, and we've seen a lot of engagement on that platform, just people commenting regularly. They're you know, our views are up on our first plays, and I think there's still a lot to be done there, so I'm really excited, like, what more we can implement there. But that, to me, is, like, my proudest accomplishment that we've been able to do this year.
And it really is cool, Nolan. You should listen to last year's Christmas cast because as we were planning for 2020 goal setting, you said one of the things that you want to do is that. And you and we have accomplished that, not only with these video episodes, but we have regular video clips. We've been consistently doing first plays. We've put up Let's Plays. Again, I joked about it earlier, but I finished an Ocarina of Time's Let's Play and a Final Fantasy VII Remake Let's Play series. Yeah. And so we've got a lot, dude. How many videos do we have up on our YouTube?
I want to look up how many we have this year alone because I feel like we either doubled or more how many videos we had on our channel. It's a lot. It's a lot of content.
It is a lot. I would say at least 10. Would you say at least that?
I'd say at least
11 10. Or more.
Okay.
Kenny's just going to get one of them.
I think that's cool. And we also have some relaxing playlists, video game playlists.
N64 fans, you will be pleased. And PlayStation 1 fans. We've got playlist videos that are 2 hours long each for your listening enjoyment.
Kenny, what's something for you?
I love that, and I know this is small, but I love that we've just continued to work on quality of our product.
Yeah.
You know, not just content, but sound of what we do. Things are professional. Yeah. We got some new microphones. Dustin's got a Santa hat.
That was not a cheap hat.
The reindeer were not cheap. They were really expensive. And so just the sort of group of folks that have surrounded what we do and supported us is so like humbling and so thankful for Tom and Hookshot and everybody, Maxima, and like the whole team of people that give their time to help what we do keep going. And I just love that we're committed to continuing to make a quality product.
Yeah. So both of those things. So we really did what is probably our final upgrade of recording equipment. It's for sure microphone. You can't.
For sure.
We're not going to be able to do better than that.
This is God tier.
sure, we could up our cameras again if we want to at some point down the line, but you guys have made it possible for us to do that. And then with Maxima, Hookshot, and Tom, we finalized our team. Some of them have been helping us for a while now, much longer than just in 2020. But in 2020 is when we kind of formalized, hey, this is our three-man team to go alongside us three, for Tom to help us out with the production and editing of almost every single episode that you listen to. Hookshot making the incredible.
Oh my God. They're so funny. The weekly thumbnails that he drops have me laughing every single
time.
Like, I absolutely
top
love them.
YouTube meta.
Top
so
YouTube
good.
Meta. Yeah, and a lot of them, he's superimposing our stupid faces on video game
characters. Yeah, so sorry about that.
Then he's also created the t-shirt designs for us. He's creating for us NGP themed backgrounds for phones and computers. He's really upped our game with our website. Last year he helped us heavily do our March Madness, which we were planning to do again this year. And then March Madness literally did not happen in the world. And so we followed suit, feeling that it would have been poor taste to just continue that for this year. But we hope to bring that back next year. And then Maxima, just doing an incredible game with our social media. Yeah, Twitter especially. And then he does some on Facebook and sometimes on the TikTok as well.
The TikTok, the Instagrams.
I said that we hit our 5 year, and that's something to celebrate. Something to mourn is that
Huge.
With that, we did our Kenny takeover.
Whew, baby.
Yeah, we're mourning the fact that we don't get that every single week.
No. Well, he just did a normal episode.
It hurt, Nolan. It hurt.
No, I didn't like it.
It hurt so good.
I didn't like it at all.
I didn't like it.
I had a great time having all of the power.
For the first time, brought about producer pools.
Oh, yeah. So sick.
Yeah, that's new and fun.
We've done Patreon pools. We did our second year of summer pool party this last summer.
Good.
But we also started the occasional producer pool for our producers only, which is an extremely small list of games that we then choose from.
Yeah. And that, I always think it's cool when we can add, like, Patreon perks like that, especially to our producers. Like, our producers have been so faithful, so helpful to the podcast. So I love the producer pool.
And speaking of Patreon, we hit Patreon goals this year, not just one, but two. So believe it or not, it was this year that we played D&D together.
That was this year?
That was this year. 2020 has been so long.
I believe
that. If you guys are apologizing for the takeover episode, I'm apologizing for trying to make people listen to us play D&D.
I thought we did so good.
I thought it was fun. I honestly think our little trial run before the real thing may have been even better and had more promise.
No.
That little one-off was super fun.
The bleating bit
was good.
That was good.
And then we also just so we previously hit this goal, and then we fell back below. We just recently hit it again, where we are now promised a monthly NGP event, whether it's a live stream or community game night. We did a few of those when we were above the goal. We did our Among Us, play together dozen plus people
more than
in a
10,
room.
Yeah,
we weren't even
total
able to
full house. It was great,
so much fun. And then we even did a Q&A, a live Q&A. Remember that?
I thought that went very well too. I think that was great.
Listen, we want to give you guys more content, so continue to help us keep this, keep our levels up there. And we love to be able to do regular interactions with you guys, more so than we even do in Discord. And then this last year, we had some many incredible guests, including Kane Gaming, MC Moffitt, 8-Bit Drummer, and Kiana Mosser. Just so many high-tier, excellent guests that join us to talk about one of their favorite games.
So fun. I loved all of them on, and it was fun. I randomly was watching 8-Bit Drummer videos after he had been on the show, and... and there was one time I was like, wait, I recognize that t-shirt. He's got at least a couple of his videos where he's wearing New Game Plus
t-shirts.
Oh, yeah, because
Dustin sent him one.
I didn't know that. I haven't seen it. I would love to see that.
Yeah, thanks for sharing with us, Kenny. Oh, yeah, I know. I keep you guys in the loop. So he was a great guest.
And then let's look forward to the new year.
Okay.
All right. 2021 is around the corner. I believe that everyone's ready to get there at this point. Last year, we opined on how we're ready to leave 2019 in the past and get to 2020. We shouldn't have done that. because then 2020 happened. I think we're ready to get to 2021. What's just a couple of the things that we hope to continue to accomplish, grow in, and make better for our community as we go into the new year?
You're not talking beard length here, right?
I think that's part of it.
What's your goal?
I'm going to double.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
I mean, this is 1 year. Long. Like, we're going to keep it going.
Is it really?
And your wife pretty is much. Chill with that.
Oh, she totally is, probably.
And you put beard oil in it?
Yeah.
I can tell. It looks pretty slick.
I do all kinds of things to keep it healthy and clean.
Double Gandalf? Please right. do.
So
we're going full wizard. But that's only a nice bonus for those of you watching.
Yes. Yes. What's another thing, Kenny, besides beard length, or you just wanted to joke and then you're out?
Yeah, that's it. I'm out. That's the only thing I care about.
Nolan, just go.
I mean, I...
we'll come back to Kenny.
I secretly... Nolan doesn't, and I didn't know if I should bring this up because Nolan's going to roll his eyes, but I secretly want us to hit our next Patreon goal and it be an option because it kind of isn't right now.
Right.
We set sort of a stretch goal a while ago that we're actually getting pretty close to, that we may have to be a little flexible on depending, but of going and representing NGP in person at like a retro gaming convention or something.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously as long as cons aren't meeting that won't happen, but, we'd love to do something equivalent or hopefully live in a world where people are interacting face to face again. And I think that would be a really fun goal. Cool way to grow the community, get exposure. I think it'd be rad.
And I hope that we can, because that was also one of Kenny's goals that he mentioned on last Christmas cast for 2020.
We got close.
Yep.
And we got
didn't
close.
Make it.
But then also the world was against us during
yeah,
that time.
Yeah, so. I don't even know if we'll be able to do it next year, you know? Like, even if we hit it, you know?
Maybe something virtual, dude. Maybe we throw our own...
Hey.
Is there something there?
Don't give me an idea. Yeah, no, I agree. I think that would be pretty sick. And we could cosplay.
Okay.
We
let our patrons do a poll to pick what... cosplay character we play they from would, the games that we played this year.
I would say I'd like it, but I'm gonna end up being Big the Cat somehow and shoot it down.
Okay.
No, Lord of the Rings cosplay right here. We got a dwarf, an elf, and a human.
You're all three of them?
No, I was trying to point at you guys. I don't actually know where I am in relation to you
right now. I'm
Nolan,
cosplaying a human?
You're the human. You're cosplaying a human. Aragorn. All right. My goal. Here's a concrete one for you.
I know what Nolan's goal is.
10,000 subscribers on YouTube. Don't laugh at me.
Okay.
10,000 subscribers on YouTube.
We should hit 1,000 first, just saying.
Sure. But that's only, then we only have 9 more to go.
It'd
momentum,
be cool if we didn't.
Momentum's a thing. Yes. And.
Just need one video to take off.
The YouTube algorithm's a thing. Like, I want exposure for the podcast, and I think YouTube is one of the avenues to do that. We obviously have other things that we need to do and explore and get better at. 10K subscribers by Christmas Cast 2021.
Okay, I like that. And then Discord, what's your numerical goal there? Because we need to hit 500, but then are you going to go way above for that one as well?
Yeah, sure. Since we're doing 10K on YouTube, I can push that traffic to Discord. I'm going to say 1K on Discord. That's lowballing. We're almost to 500. But basically, the reason I want the numbers, 10K on Discord means you get put into the Discovery tab. So people could just find us through Discord, just if they search retro gaming, right? So
I'll add one more goal, and that would be to do 2 Elements episodes as opposed to 1, so that we could double this last year's.
We did.
I want our community.
Can we blame COVID?
No,
we were really bad.
No, we blame y'all's lazy butts.
It was COVID.
I need the community to know that I've tried, and I've even told them I'm recording on this day. Show up if y'all want to do it. And
did you go to your computer?
And I'm just sitting here naked trying to record an Elements episode.
We did more than one.
No, we did. And we did Wii Gaming or something like that, which is our most listened to episode to date.
Out of every show. out of every episode.
I'm hitting
stop on the recording.
No, don't stop recording. I think that's true. That to date in the life of our podcast, let me look, all time. Okay. Yes, the number one and number two are Elements episodes. If y'all could just know that and then say, I'm inspired to do it. Number two is Elements, Characters of Super Smash Bros. And number one is Elements, Gameplay of Wii Sports.
Okay, it's something to do with the way we're naming our episodes. There's no way that's just the most listened to. People don't search for Wii Sports podcast.
You don't think people are searching for Wii Sports?
No, that was a good episode.
There are people that are really into Wii Sports.
Y'all should go check out our Elements episode from this last year and stay tuned for our two Elements episodes from 2021.
Yeah, we've already said a big thank you to some of the people that help this podcast continue and be a success. But we would be crazy to look back on this year and not take some time to thank those of you who also support us on patreon.com, our patrons. You guys literally go above and beyond. And so we just want to take a minute and say Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, special big extra huge thanks to our producer level supporters. That's Amarlian, Austin, Ben, Bro Jim, Carrie, David, Dear Baby, Francesca, Corey, Mr. Lattes, Maxima, Shauna, William, and Zion, and a massive shout out as well to our two director level supporters who give us so much support, just like with their time and their thoughts and their attention and
money.
These guys have really just been good like money. The backbone of this podcast, Garlyle and Antonin. Thank you so much. We're appreciative.
There's a whole host of you that support us on Patreon. When we created it, guys, we put two high level tiers, thinking that one of them was kind of just a joke and was a silly. Like if there was a sugar mommy or daddy that wanted to come along and support us, they could do that. The other was like, dude, if we get a few of these, that would be really cool. The producer level.
Yeah.
And so many of you have hopped on that make the list so long for us to say each week. And it is so much fun to say that we cherish each and every one of you. And then those of you that have become our sugar daddies and mommies, I mean, that's just above and beyond.
Yeah. And not only that, like the producers and the directors carry our Discord community. Like they're so active, yeah, so true. Welcoming to anyone that joins there. They welcome them first. True. So cool.
So cool. You can follow us if you aren't yet on our social media. All of those links are in the show notes below, including our YouTube so that you can help us to get to 10K and our Discord so you can help us get to 10K. Make sure you're listening to us directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Subscribe so that you're the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our good friend Tom Tate. The beautiful graphic that you see was produced by our good friend Hookshot. And the tweet that probably sent you here, or the social media interaction, was from our good friend Maxima. Thank you for joining us for this very special Christmas cast episode. Next week, we'll be back with our regularly scheduled program. Until then, I'm still Santa Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
Nat King Cole.
Which is not White Christmas.
The Christmas song.
This has been New Game Plus.